What, the story?
Tell me your painting story again about the drop claws and that.
Yeah.
I guess that was it. I ruined the ending. It was, yeah, put down drop cloths.
Yep, and ready to paint.
Yeah. The word for painting in German?
Sure.
Is malen, to paint.
Okay.
But not when you're painting your house. That's streichen.
Wow, that's confusing.
Why have two different words? One of them's you know, what Da Vinci did when he was painting houses, and then the other one is what Van Gogh did.
Okay.
I think I made it more confusing at the end. All right, forget it. Hello, and... Oh, really?
Yeah, I see it.
Right in the middle of the
start. Well, you were starting.
Hello, and welcome to episode 454 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. And with me, as always, is...
Adam in Van Town.
454, Adam.
What? The episode?
Great. Yeah, great episode number, but great Chevy engine. Big V8.
Okay. Why is it?
That's what you're thinking, right?
Why? Yeah, I was thinking 454. That's a great
engine.
Just
big displacement.
Why otherwise? Because, I mean, you're the numerical guy. Like, why 454 is good otherwise?
Well, no, it's the palindrome, but we get those like every 11 episodes. But I'm just saying. No, but 454. My truck had a 350 in it, which I thought was big, but it's considered a small block.
Okay. All right.
That's big. That's a 5.7 liter engine, roughly.
Wow.
So the 454, whatever that translates to, 12 liter engine. No, it's like a 6.7 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't
you
know.
Lost. You
do
lost
the
math.
Me. Forget it.
You lost. You lost me.
Yeah. I'm sure. I'm just thinking back on episode 351. I'm sure I made a 351 Cleveland reference.
Maybe. I don't remember.
That's a Ford engine, so probably not. All right. We've taken a hit a new low here.
Yeah.
Amazon. If you need to get your engine replaced, I bet you they sell them on Amazon, ship them right to your house.
And there's also lots of camera accessories that you can get.
That's it's funny you should mention that. I just bought a couple of things.
Okay.
One thing came today. I bought a new shoot through umbrella because, how many shoot through umbrellas do you own?
I have probably four, but I think one is a little bit ratty, so I don't really use it so much anymore. So probably three that I use in a regular rotation.
Okay. So I was gonna suggest that one should have at least two. You should have two of them. I did have two. But then one of them tipped over the exact number of times plus one and broke. It was done. It was officially done. So I had to toss it. And so I picked up a new one. They're about, what are they, $9 now? Like they're free, essentially.
Yeah, I'm gonna say closer to $20 here, but still very, very reasonable. And
I bought a very cheap one though. I mean, I just for me, I'm like, yeah, you can get the expensive ones and they're nice to have, but in that situation, I tend to use my softbox. So what I like about these is they fold up very, very small. They're the ones with the telescoping, I don't know, chimneys? What do you call it? What do you call the pole in the middle?
Yeah, the pole.
Whatever. The middle pole. The MP. They call it the MP.
Yeah.
It's the one that telescopes so that it fits in your bag nicely. So like you're riding your bike somewhere. It's great. So I now have two of those, but... for me, it's the second one. It's like, yeah, it's generally when I'm doing clamshell lighting, so I don't really care that light's getting hocked everywhere. I'm not trying to control it.
Right.
Which you can do with the more expensive ones. You have a little bit better quality, but for this, I was like, you know what? I think it's about $9-$10. Maybe it's 12. I don't know. I lost track. But that showed up. But the reason that like this is a complete coincidence. I needed to buy one, so this wasn't the impetus for it. However, I got an email from a listener yesterday named Marcus and said, hey guys, love the show. He did say, hey guys, but he really meant, hey, Alan.
Okay. Hey, Alan.
Yeah. Well, it came
and
to my
maybe
personal,
the other guy.
Well, it came to my personal email.
Wow. That's so, this is awkward.
Well, no, it's going to get worse. he's like, hey, I really appreciate the show. I keep forgetting to buy stuff through your Amazon site. So I bought you a gift certificate for Amazon. Here you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm not joking.
That's kind of cool and creepy at the same time.
Not creepy at all.
I just need your home address and your wife's maiden name. And,
No. Yeah.
Your next of kin.
Well, he's based out of Nigeria, and he's a prince. He's a prince, and just the money is just sitting there, Adam, and he can't get it out. So he's got to transfer it to. It's all. I checked. It's all on the up and up. Bill Gates said, "Yeah, go." Right. He gave him the green light.
No.
It was just an email. Like, here, check it out, and you click on it, and then you can load it onto your account. And I was blown away. I was like. And not even about the money. Like, I thought just the fact that somebody would take the time to do that and the money, of course.
Right. Where's my 50%?
Do you want to go down that path?
Yeah.
Cause you got some web bills to pay. You got 50% of some,
I'll take 45 then. I'll shave 45.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Let's hear the denomination. How much did this listener give you?
Is it uncouth to say?
No, heck, we all want to know.
50 euros.
Wow, that's like 3,000 Canadian dollars.
That's approximately 3,000 Canadian dollars, yeah. And so, so I was like, wow. I mean, for me, that was the thought. I told my wife, and she even said the same thing, and she was like, you?
Yeah, why you?
Yeah, like, well, I don't know. I guess, So, anyways, Marcus, thank you very much. And I don't want people to think that you know they can buy our love and just get mentioned on the show, but you totally can. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
For $100, you get your last name.
Okay. All right.
No, I don't know. I would say his last name, but I don't know if he wants me to do that.
And yeah.
By me saying Marcus, that's approximately 95% of the German population is named Marcus.
Oh, so this is a fellow from Germany.
I assume so.
Okay.
Yeah. His email address was marcus@marcus.de, so
okay.
Probably. I better check. I hope that's not actually true. I just made that up, and if that's really what it is, I'll feel like a jerk.
That'd be awesome if it is.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Nigerian princes, here they come.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so I bought that, and then I bought
something else. Sorry, what did you buy?
I bought the umbrella.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But then there's money left over, obviously, for whatever I get, for my new engine, my new 454 that I get.
Okay, just put that towards it.
Yeah, I'll put that towards it. Well, I'm thinking about a new desk, actually, and I can't find anything I like here, so I was considering doing one on Amazon.
Okay, like...
Which I'll actually send you.
Are we talking like a sit-stand desk?
No. No, I don't spend enough time at my desk to warrant one of those.
Mm.
I try not to. I don't like working.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you.
I don't either, no.
Yeah, yeah. So I try to avoid it at all costs. Okay. Except right now, so certain stretches during the year, I have like a lot of time off and it's awesome and I enjoy the sun and swimming and all that stuff. Now's the time of the year where I start, that's when the bill comes right now. Because I get there's a couple of regular jobs that I have starting... Well, in the next 10 minutes, there's a package coming and with some video footage in it. And that's it. Like, it's go time until beginning of December, so.
Gotcha.
That's that. All right. What's going on? That's Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out. What is going on, Adam?
Not very much. Everybody is at school right now. I just dropped the kids off at school. And now I have a bunch of projects to do.
Painting?
Yep, painting is the big thing on the weekend's agenda, is painting the bedroom.
What? Are you painting by yourself?
My wife is at work, she'll help me on the weekend, so I will probably try to get one room done while the kids are at school after I'm done with this podcast, and then okay. I'll probably try to do the rest on the weekend. Well, I will because I want to get my life back in order.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that I really love about two things I love about painting. I love being done. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a wonderful opportunity to binge listen some podcasts.
Okay.
So that I highly recommend, and not and ours, but not for you. Obviously, would not binge ours. I'll make some recommendations to you off the air if you want.
Sure.
Or on the air. CBC has some great podcasts. Somebody Knows Something or Someone Knows Something, it's called.
Okay.
And then one called Uncover, and it's got a couple of seasons that really compelling stuff. So I highly suggest that you check those out.
Okay. All right. I will check out some of those.
The one of them was really surprising that because they did a couple seasons. There's one on that whole Nexium sex scandal thing that you probably heard about briefly, maybe.
Yeah, I did.
But there's a Vancouver connection, and then so I was like, I don't care about that. And I started listening, and I could not stop. It's actually while I was painting, as a matter of fact, and couldn't stop listening. And I ended up just coincidentally, I don't know the actress. Like the Vancouver actress featured in the episodes, but I know some of her friends. So it was kind of strange, like a strange connection to be hearing what was going on. And I know some of the people sort of involved.
Hmm.
So do not like I thought my point being at first, I was like, there's no way I'm going to like this. And then I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like it's really compelling stuff. So check it out.
Okay.
Speaking of weird connections, I meant to tell you, I made a joke on the show before we went on vacation. Remember, we recorded like four episodes in a row.
Yeah.
And I made a joke about that Jeffrey Epstein guy.
Yeah.
And I made too soon? And turns out like 3 days later, he died. Or killed himself or whatever, whatever happened.
So you're basically responsible.
No. But then one of our listeners commented on the website and said, hey, yeah, it's even better joke now or something like that. And I was like, yeah, maybe I'll be part of the conspiracy. But it got me to thinking, I do have a very, and I wouldn't say I have a connection, but it's very tangential. But there is a personal connection to this entire thing, which is kind of strange for me. Because I started reading the story a little bit, and he was in a place called the Metropolitan Correction Center in Manhattan, the MCC. And I said, I know that place. I'm very familiar with that jail because I worked on a documentary a few years ago about a guy named Martin Armstrong.
Okay.
And it was the movie came out. I got fired from the movie, which was fine. But part of the movie, the movie's called The Forecaster, if you want to go check it out. It's made by a documentary filmmaker here in Tübingen. And so I was hired to, first I was hired to write the opening act. The first 25 minutes was going to be, the original plan was it was going to be an animated 25 minutes showing what led up to the current situation. And this was a guy, boy, his story is long, Martin Armstrong. You want to check him out, you want to Google him. Martin Armstrong, Princeton Economics. He's the guy who developed the economic model, prediction model based on the number pi. And it sounds crazy as hell, but you start to dig deep and it's kind of an amazing thing.
Okay.
It's his whole story. And so he figured out that, you know, every 3,141 days, this major event happens and you can predict certain things based on this kind of wave. And he started doing it. He started predicting these things, whether he was, you know, fluke or not. He was hitting at a pretty solid rate that and making a lot of money doing it. But he's predicting wars and he's predicting stuff because wars can't just happen. Money has to move in a certain way, and so he's predicting all these things. Long story short, the CIA knocks on his door. They want the computer model. He says no. Next thing you know, he's arrested and thrown in the MCC, the Metropolitan, the same unit as this Epstein guy.
Okay.
So I guess like, oh wow, like I remembered that. So I had gone through all. So he was held in jail in that place for like, I forget what it was. It was 8 years, 11 years. It was the longest ever without being charged with anything. He was held on contempt of court. Okay. The longest anyone's ever been held. And they held him there. And then there was an incident where he basically, some other prisoner came in and tried to kill him and beat him to within an inch of his life. He should have died, was in a coma, etc. And he always figured it was a hit job. That's what he was talking about.
Okay, yeah.
And so I had gone through and read years of court transcripts every time he'd come back to court, and I had to read through them all and basically write the opening act of you know, condense that down to 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, Cole's Notes version.
Yeah, which I'm not doing now, apparently. But the anyways, it ended up, unfortunately, it got scrapped from the movie, so I kind of wrote it for nothing except for it was a good experience and all that stuff. But point being, I thought, you know, I bet you, if you go back, if I went and checked, like, I'll bet you he's talking about this because he writes a blog. And sure enough, right when Epstein gets arrested and still alive, he just starts writing about, oh yeah, I was there, they're going to kill him. That's what he was writing on his blog, and check it out. And sure enough, then so if you go back and Google Martin Armstrong and Jeffrey Epstein, you can kind of read the blog posts, which are eerily predictive of what ended up happening. But anyway, so he got out of jail and ended up, he moved to Switzerland during the production of this documentary. And I went down to Switzerland a couple years ago and I photographed him. And so we ended up using it for the movie poster and et cetera, but it was just in this drab office building. So I was like, oh, perfect. Like a white wall, like just awful, like no good backgrounds. But so I just made it gray. And so here's the picture of him. But the weird part is, like, if you were to Google him, like you usually this or one of the other pictures from this session comes up.
Okay.
And yeah. It's one of those ones that it's somehow been stolen and a whole bunch of people just use it willy-nilly. And it's, again, it's one of those things that I don't get credit for, et cetera, but I'm not too worried about it. But anyway, check it out. That's my tangential, strange connection to a joke I made about a month and a half ago.
Great. Wow.
Is it great or just, like, am I the Forrest Gump, but not even the good one? Like, not the fun Forrest Gump?
You're the Ginny.
No. I don't think so. I'm trying to think of something funny that was Forrest Gump. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. There's nothing funny there.
Okay.
Whatever. It's based on, who's the other guy? Who's the guy Forrest Gump's based on?
Who's the other guy that Forrest Gump's, oh, like the Bubba? Bubba Gump?
No. There's a whole, it's kind of a ripoff, the story, apparently.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I forget now it is. Ziegfeld or something. Anyways, that's my weird Jeffrey Epstein connection. I urge people to go Google Epstein and Martin Armstrong and go read his blog post that came out before a lot of this stuff went down, and it's pretty interesting stuff.
Great.
Also, check out the movie too. It's not the direction I wanted to go with the story, which is kind of why I got fired. Not kind of why I got fired. It's exactly why I got fired, but it's still an interesting story. So see if you can find that.
Okay.
Reminder, monthly challenge is background. That can mean whatever you like it to mean, and we'll find out your interpretation of that. Post that on Instagram, hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers, and even better, make sure you tag us at Two Hosers, and we will check that out and talk about it in October. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, just a back to school photo for the photo challenge.
We shall deal with that in that section then.
Yeah, I haven't been, like I say, preoccupied. I haven't had the chance to have the camera gear out. Plus the weather in Vancouver here has been nothing but crappy in the last few days. So, in the last week. So it hasn't really been prime time
in for September
for shooting. Yeah. Big surprise, eh? Yeah.
No, September is usually fantastic.
Well, we haven't had rain, I feel like, for like 4 months. So we're making up for it now.
All right. I was out shooting around and I was out playing catch with my son, who loves baseball, and as he should. And we're out playing, so I snapped a couple photos of him sitting down. And I thought, oh, you know, so there's the photo of him sitting on the curb.
Yep.
You can see. And then I shot one down. I wanted to shoot a perspective shot. And so the one with the sort of the side shot, are you looking at that?
Yep.
What do you think of that shot?
It's fine.
No, it's not.
What's wrong with it?
Where's the focus? What's with the focus? What's going on with the focus?
I don't know. It looks okay to me. What's wrong with the focus?
Okay, you're going to need to see an eye doctor.
Okay.
It's not in focus. Like, it's not sharp. Like, if you look, his right foot on his shoe, probably sharp. Part of his glove, probably sharp. His face, not sharp. I focused on his eye.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely soft now that I zoom in.
And so, I've been noticing this for a while, and I thought, oh, man, like, this is the 24-100. No, this was actually the 70-200. I lied. But I've been noticing a lot with the 24-105, and I thought, what's up with my lens? Like, is something going on? I don't really want stuff to be going on with my equipment right now or ever. And so I ignored it. I thought, okay, you know what? Maybe it's user error. Maybe I'm just getting worse.
That's possible.
So, yeah, highly possible. Although I couldn't think you could get much worse, but here we are. And so I thought, so I look back and this has been happening. It's been cropping up intermittently. And so I thought, oh yeah, geez, that like, what's going on? So I shot a message over to a friend of ours, Chris Marquardt, and said, you know, he knows everything about everything, always.
Yeah.
And I said, what's going on, man? It's just like, what's with the camera shake? Which I, again, with the 24-105 shouldn't be happening because it has the IS stabilization, which is great. But this is the 70-200 at 200. But the shutter speed's at like 1/640th or 1/1000th. So there's no way I should be getting, you know, camera shake. And he said, no, it's that doesn't look like camera shake to me. There's something going on. Like, your camera's, you know, screwed. And I thought, he said, maybe it's the lens. Maybe it's the lens. But I said, no, it's happening with multiple lenses now. I thought, you know, like, what could it be? So, I took a bunch of test shots and showed him, and we kind of went back and forth. And he had a great suggestion. He said, quit photography, is what he said.
Yeah. He said, move on.
He said, stick to boring stories about that Epstein guy. He said, well, oh, maybe you have dust on the focus screen.
Okay.
He said, oh, I had never considered that. I've never come across that. But there is the focus screen that is kind of up under, like, if you open up the, take the lens off, it's kind of up, in and up. And that's where the focus screen is. And you got to be careful cleaning it, apparently, because you don't want to scratch it. If you scratch it, you got to replace it. So the word was from online was, yeah, just blow it out with air. But I've never come across this. And so, of course, sure, I get the little, that rocket blower thing that we have. I think you have the same one that I have.
Yep.
Blow a bunch of air through there, fire it back on, problem solved.
Okay.
That's all it was just a little bit. So, again, never heard of it. I mean, how long have you had a DSLR for? 10 years now?
Yeah.
Never come up?
Nope.
Same here. So if you're having trouble, have a look at that.
Which camera was that in?
That was the Mark III, the new one.
Oh, so maybe because you got that off someone, right?
Yeah. And so, but when I first got it, I shot around a lot at the guy's apartment and never experienced any problem. Everything was tack sharp. And so maybe since then, but I'm very careful about where I take it and B, where I change the lens. And I try to keep dust out of that one. But you'd think with, you know, my other, the 40D where I take it everywhere, that would experience it. But nope, that one is not. But for whatever reason, this one it did. And it seems like the problem's solved. I hope it is. Moving on.
Okay.
All right. Photo challenge. Oh, no, wait. I have one more thing I had to say. But did you shoot anything interesting? We're going to go to the photo of the sign. So my son had his first day of school today. Like, first day ever. Mm-hmm. Which is a big deal here in Germany. They get the whole cone, the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
You get your new backpack and the whole deal. So it's very exciting. It's a big day. You had to go to church this morning, which is all part of it, which was awesome. And you walk over from the church, you go over, and then the school starts. There's some little assembly thing, blah, blah, blah. But the sign was up. Now that says, Aus Datenschutzrechtlichen Gründen sind Foto und Videoaufnahmen leider nicht gestattet. Which, as you obviously know, it means
no photo or video.
Yeah, no photo or video, but due to the data rights in Germany, like you can't just take a picture of somebody and post it online. You're not allowed here. It's verboten.
Okay.
And they're pretty strict about it. And so for that reason, they're basically saying that even if you take pictures of your kid, that there might be some other kid in the background, so no photos allowed. Which I said that's absurd. I brought my camera, my newly cleaned out camera. Yeah. It's like there's no way. And it's like I said to my wife, I was like, well, I'm gonna take three photos. I'm not gonna blast away. But when my son gets up there and he's going off to school now, I'm gonna get a photo. And even she said, yeah. I said, because my whole thing is I'm not gonna post it. So the rule is you can't post it. Right? Mm-hmm. But they've gone one step further and just said, well, to prevent this, no photos allowed.
Right.
So my first reaction was, well, I don't live my life like that, so I'm going to do what I want. I kind of don't want to get my son in trouble first day, but I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, you're gonna take your chances.
Yeah. Oh, and you phone the police if you like. That's fine. We can hash this out. But and then my second thought was, if you want me to follow this rule, do not post the sign in Comic Sans font. Like, that's, you can't expect me to care. If you legitimately use this font, we're done.
Okay. All right, so, good point. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a serious font.
No. And
it's not even capitalized. Most of it's not in caps either.
The right stuff is. They're very particular about capitalization in Germany.
Okay.
Like, Gründen is like means like the reason, like the reason for something, and yeah. So like, but because that's a reason, it is a noun, it is capitalized, and then sind means is to be, like are, and so, but photo is a noun, so it's capitalized. Video is a noun, okay, so you can see it's
okay. They're deliberate in how they've done this.
They're very, they're extremely, like it's been called out to me many times, and I don't care actually about capitalizing, but. Point being, just as we're going to get rolling into the good part, the principal just stood up and basically said, yep, that's the rule. You've been informed. Do what you want. Meaning she was like, just please don't post anything. I've told you what's going on. Govern yourselves accordingly. I'm not looking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she was extremely reasonable about it. So I thought that was excellent. So I did snap a couple of photos, but I just thought this was funny that they had to go and put the sign. Like, this sign was everywhere, too. This is like one of 12 signs in the gym. All of them in the same font, however. So if they're listening, which they probably aren't because it's in English, just go with an Arial Black. It's fine. It's a fine font.
Yeah?
Yeah. So there you go. All right, photo challenge this week is back to school.
So, right, because enough it's about me. That let's time, have a look at, yeah.
It is that time. So I knew you were going to shoot the back to school.
Sure, my kids wanted nothing to do with it.
Neither does mine, and it's his first day, man. But anyways, all right. So let's have a look. Did you get one of your daughter or not?
I did. She wouldn't let me post it. So
okay. There you go. Oh yeah. No, she's getting into that.
I told you. She didn't particularly love. She didn't love the photo. I liked it, but she overruled me and said, don't post it. And I'm like, all right, I have to respect that.
But she's approaching teens, right?
Yep. She's definitely, when it comes to, you know, the self-image, she wants to control her self-image. Yeah.
No, like in...
Yeah. It's a good photo, too. Imagine this picture, the one that I have of Jack with longer hair.
Yeah.
Now you've seen it. Now you've
like
seen
the
it.
Female Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, I get it. I remember that. Yeah, the it's oh my god, I'm in for it too. I'm just a couple years behind you, and when you know my daughter is going to be doing that as well, and oh no, like you're in for a treat right now, man.
Yeah, no, we're not in for it. We already are experiencing it.
Yeah, why the body image, you know, like, I know we talked about this before, and you know, I had like an 10-year-old girl tell me, you know, explain to, not to me, but to my wife and stuff about, you know, thigh gap, and I'm like, you're 10, like, what are you doing? Yeah, come on now.
Yeah.
And so, but the whole Instagram part of it, you know, like the controlling your image and you don't like this, you don't like that. Yikes. Anyway, so let's look at the one of your son, who he did like his, evidently.
Yeah. Well, he only cooperated because his teacher had asked that each kid bring a relatively recent photo for school. Like they needed an actual print. So I said, yeah. Perfect. Two birds with one stone. I'll take your back to school photo, because this is what he was wearing on his first day. And then we'll go make a print. You can bring it into school as your photo. And so he agreed to that. And so I just kind of shot a photo as if something like, you know, that would look like they do for their school photo. So head, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do kind of a school photo sort of look. Sorry, I'm going to turn off my phone that keeps beeping from text. So I thought I'd shoot that. And the projector that we watch movies on sometimes on the weekend happened to be up. So I used that as my background. And then I just two umbrellas, one sort of in behind them and one feathered in front of them. So just a real simple setup. And then I just snapped a few photos, probably took five or six, waited for one that I liked the smile. And voila, you have a very simple lighting setup. Didn't have to light the background at all. Just tried to keep as much of the light off of it as I could.
Right.
Yeah. I actually didn't know. It wasn't two shoot-throughs. The one in the back, because I was conscious of not wanting that light to hit the screen, was a reflective umbrella.
Right. Okay. Now, the only thing, I mean, that I notice is the key light seems to be lower than you normally put it.
Yeah. And I think the whole problem was based on the height of the screen, like he was too, like the screen, like you'd see the screen. So I had to prop him up on like a milk crate. And then to get the key light higher than that, it's hitting the roof, especially with the umbrella on it. So I basically settled. I was like, yep, this is the height we're getting it, just because of how high up in the air he had to be to use that background. So a few logistical issues.
Let's get a studio with vaulted ceilings.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
I would like that. And like a gaffing rig up there where you can just hang lights off the grid. Let's
all
do that.
All of that would be awesome. Unfortunately, I was working in what can I do in 3 minutes and make it look good, and also I wanted it sort of to look really authentic to, hey, this is what you might get from school.
Well, I don't think that's accurate, because they tend to light really flat for those school
ones. That's true. They use a big softbox and just straight on. But I was kind of thinking more of the background. And I was also thinking similar to school. Like, this is probably a little bit more, a little bit more shaped light than you're going to get at school. But otherwise, I mean, you could easily mistake in this for what they would come home from school with.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I like the shaped light better than the ones. I mean, obviously, if you're shooting for school, like, you're just trying to flood, you know, you're shooting, what, like, you know, 200 kids in a day. You're like, all right, let's just hurry up and blow through here, you little brats.
Yeah.
You're going to hate this anyway, so let's just do this. And so you kind of want to just keep, boom, nice, even lighting for everybody.
Right.
So I definitely like the shape much more. All right. Have a look at mine. Mine is my son. That's him today with his Schultüte, which I'm sure you remember from my daughter a couple years ago.
Right.
That's the big deal here in Germany is the big cone full of school supplies.
Right.
That's what you get. Congratulations. Here's some Ticonderogas. But everyone likes to have fun with it. So back in the day, I think like way back, like my wife's parents, like when they were kids, they had a Schultüte. Probably not as original, you know, as these, like, people run with it. Like, you can buy them, of course. People make their own, or you can buy kits, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, my wife made this, from a kit, but then she also customized it. On the one side, you can see the soccer player. On the other side, of the Toronto Blue Jays baseball player, because he does both, and he wanted a soccer slash baseball theme. But the whole bunch of kids, you know, like, I think the deal is all the kids bring them to school today, and they all kind of compare, and I'm like, oh yeah, you got Lightning McQueen, and you know, the girls have mermaids and stuff like that. And it's kind of fun to watch. The kids love them; they just absolutely love them. So it's a tradition to take a photo with the Schultute. So this was him. And I'm not in love with it. It's okay. Fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It was in a rush this morning. And so I think there actually is. This is the 70-200 with the 5D Classic, so it's not the same issue. I think there actually is just a tiny touch of camera shake on this image, which doesn't make it tack sharp. It's fine. Like, I'll use it, accept it. But just the sheer size of this thing that my wife put the taffeta or whatever that's called on the top, it makes it difficult to frame up nicely.
It's like a wedding cake.
It's a little bit like a wedding cake with a bunch of taffeta on the top. And so I was like, oh man, like I couldn't quite get this framed up, which is why I have the black stripes on each side. That's to make it fit on Instagram. Otherwise it won't fit up and down. Like it'll get cut off.
Right.
So I have to add the letterboxing on either side just to make it work for when we post this. So it's fine. It's just a shoot-through umbrella, my old one, not my new one. My new one hadn't arrived yet, came this afternoon. But just a simple shoot-through umbrella with one-quarter CTO on it out front in the morning just before we're leaving for school. And it's all right.
Okay.
You can talk now. If you want to say something about it.
I don't really have much to say. That's exactly it. It looks like you captured the moment, and you did so in, you know, probably given the scenario, the best you could do.
And it's actually cheating because the theme was back to school. This is actually to school. So
right.
But I took a picture. My daughter went to school. Her first day of was a couple days ago. They start a couple days early because they're not new. And so I snapped her photo in the morning, and you can see without the Schultute, I like this picture much better.
Yeah, agreed.
And so just framing wise, and there she is, ready to go. Give me the old thumbs up, Dad. Are we done?
Yeah,
that's her little move. In a couple years.
Same setup though. Same shoot through.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just different day, so slightly different lighting situation. So you can see the backgrounds. Little bit different time of day. Hers is a little earlier in the morning when it's a nice, much softer light. His, the sun's starting to come up, which kind of changes the lighting scheme a little bit, lights up the trees behind, etc. But I like hers better, but it's his day, so
gotcha.
You get to see him.
Okay.
There you go. Back to school. All right. Topic this week is finally, everyone's been waiting. Come on. When's Adam going to talk about his X100S today. Today's the day.
Today's the day. Okay.
So take us through it. What happened? Like, why? First of all, why? What made you think about it?
Well, you've been, you know, yelling at me for months that I should have right. one of these. So it's basically that. And I just kind of, when I had time, so when we are on vacation, have a little bit more time on my hands, I basically started just kind of perusing Craigslist and seeing, you know, what was out there. I have that Sony RX100, the original one that, you know, I kind of use as my take anywhere little point and shoot when I don't want to carry an SLR or lenses and I just want to have something very compact in my pocket. It is definitely, there's limitations with that camera being the age that it is. And, you know, it's great for what it is, but it's certainly... the technology has passed by. As it turns out, the camera that I bought, the X100S, is only a year and a half newer than the RX100, the original one that mm-hmm. I had. But from a technology standpoint, like an image quality standpoint, it's light years ahead of that
Why?
Sony camera.
What do you mean by that?
I can shoot the ISO at 6500 and have almost no noise in that camera. Like yeah. it's ridiculous how clear the images are. The other thing that I don't like about the RX 100 or the original version that I have is there's no viewfinder. So you're completely shooting off the back of the LCD, which depending on the time of day and sunlight and whatnot, it can be a giant pain in the butt. So there's that factor. There's no hot shoe on that camera. So I can't shoot on camera flash other than like the tiny little, you know, it's not even a pop-up, but the tiny little flash that, or actually it is a tiny little pop-up on that camera, which I never use because it's useless to me. So there's no ability to use flash. So, and then it was also a variable aperture range. So it was like, I can't remember the range of that camera, but at the wide end, you could go to 1.8, but basically as you zoom in, it's like 3.5. So you just don't have the ability to get as much light into the lens. You know, depending on what focal range you're at. So for all of those reasons, the X100S like just does things, has capabilities that that camera doesn't have. And the only real drawback is the fact that it's a fixed lens. That's it. So there's in the plus column, you've got all of those other issues resolved, especially the basically shoot in the dark. Like it's crazy how good that camera is. It's comparable to my 60 in terms of what you can do in low light scenario. It might even be
better. I think it goes further.
It might even be better. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It might even be better. And I think part of that might be that X100S is like it's a large sensor, but that camera has less megapixels than even the updated versions, right? Like they went to a more megapixels on the same sensor size, basically, right?
You have 12 in the S?
12 or 16, something like that. It's down from whatever it went to. It went to 20 something, right?
Yeah, I have 20 something. The fact that I don't know the number, maybe it's 20. I think it's 24. I think it's
I think mine's 16. And even comparing that to the RX 100, the RX 100 was like 20 something versus a smaller sensor, right? And so where I noticed it the most is that even on ISO 1600, definitely anything above that, there is a lot of grain on the RX 100 images. It's like I say, it's nowhere to be seen on much higher ISO, which is great. Plus the electronic viewfinder is such a difference maker as far as, you know, just composing your images compared to that previous camera. So I absolutely love it. The images that come out of it are fantastic. I used it when my cousin was here, just kind of as a walk around camera. We went on a few little outings and I snapped some photos of them and their kid. And then since then, I've just been preoccupied. So I haven't taken photos of really any kind other than the back to school photo I've taken of Jack. So, but from so far, I love it. And from a cost standpoint, just for those out there, I don't know if we mentioned it when I briefly talked about it last episode.
I want to hear how you found it.
So I went on Craigslist and there was two or three out there of that version. And again, for me, it was mostly looking for something that was, you know, not beaten up. Like, so that's one. I didn't care which version. I didn't want the very first version because I heard that, you know, they made a lot of changes in terms of the functionality of the camera, not necessarily the technical specs, but the usability. A lot of people said that original Fuji X100 was a great start, but there was a lot of
a beta.
Yeah, and so the X100S, that next camera is where sort of the game changed, and then they kept tweaking it from there on out, and again went to more megapixels, which to me I didn't care. So I was looking kind of for the best bang for my buck, and then there was one on Craigslist that was basically, I mean, from you know, the write-up looked untouched. Like the pictures were like pristine. They had everything still in the box. They had the charger and an extra OEM battery, which those batteries are like 50, 60 bucks. So it was all packaged in there. And the guy said there was only, you know, 3,000 or 3,500, something like that, shutter clicks on it, which to me, I don't care because that's a leaf shutter about the clicks. Just it tells me it wasn't used very much, right?
Right. So highway driving.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, well, I could shoot that in a week if I was, you know, if you were doing projects, like I could easily shoot 1,000 pictures in a day. So he really didn't use this camera very much. So It worked out that cost wise, I mean, I threw out an offer, like you had it listed for $500, and I thought, oh, we'll just see. Like I'm gonna offer him $400 because I think that would be a great deal that I couldn't say no to. And he was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So
get out.
Yeah, so it worked out. So for $400, with all of the original components plus the extra OEM battery, 3,500 clicks on it for $400. You would not know, there is not one mark on that thing. So it is as new as new can be. I think it's a good deal. I mean, I like to say.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I'll give you $350 for it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's fantastic. I thought you'd paid $500, which I thought was a good deal. So.
Well, he was gonna throw in like the wide angle converter lens or something, which for an extra $100, and I thought, well, I don't want to make this wider. Like it's not the kind of
wider's not the issue. No.
Yeah, exactly. So I know there's other converter lenses, but I mean, for me, the whole point of this is that I want the simplest setup that I can just throw in a bag, and I don't want to be making it any bigger, any bulkier than it has to be. And so it wasn't an interest. And then as it turned out, we went back and forth and I kind of didn't want it. So he sold that teleconverter separately. And then was happy to sell me the camera for the $400.
Wow.
Yeah. So
the S, just for people to know, the first one that came out was the X100. The X100S was the second version.
Yeah. Yep.
The X100T was the third version.
Yeah. And then the
F that I have is the fourth version. Now, the only reason I bought the F brand new, I wasn't being a prima donna, it's just that finding used camera equipment here in Germany is like infinitely more difficult than in Vancouver and North America. I absolutely would have gone for a deal like you did. Like the S would have been great. I paid a lot more money for the F. I'm very happy with it. I'm extremely thrilled with that camera. But had I had the opportunity to buy the S or the T for less money, I would have, because I don't care about the extra megapixels. There's probably a few features that are on there that I love that maybe you don't have. I don't know.
Well, it's the big one is the Wi-Fi. Like it doesn't have the built-in Wi-Fi. So that's the big difference.
That,
yeah. Yeah. And I don't use it on the 6D as it is. So
no. And no, I mean, it comes up every now and then. I'll use it as a remote, but, and sometimes I'll transfer images to my phone to then send out. But even then, like it's so rare that I would not have paid extra money for that. And so, in general, so what do you think, like your first images, besides the low light capability, what do you think about just walking around with it?
I love it. I mean, I think I remember you saying the same thing when you first got that camera, was that the muscle memory on using the camera, like it's just so different from an SLR. And it's also very different from the RX100 and the way I had that set up, that I feel like I'm all thumbs. Like I just like finding things and pulling the camera away and, you know, so there's a lot of kind of a learning curve that I still have yet to kind of go through. So I've kind of set it up where I think it makes sense to me, but I think I still need to tweak it as I go along. I've gone through the menus and but at one point I was even just kind of struggling with changing the focus from, you know, continuous to one shot, servo, like where that was. And I'm like, oh, there's a little dedicated switch here, but I probably
left side. Yeah.
I spent 10 minutes going through menus going like, where the heck do I change this? Like it just didn't make sense to me that, cause again, I've never seen it as a switch before on the side of the camera. So again, there's a lot of little things, that I still have to learn about it, but it's such a nicer camera to hold than the RX100. The RX100, when you put it in your hand, is almost like a toy. It's too small. Like for my preferences, it was great because you can stick it in the front pocket of your pants and like that's great on one hand, but I don't need to do that. So this camera fits nicely in the pocket of my jacket and that's also good, but it feels better in your hand. When I'm actually holding that camera, it feels a little bit more substantial, and having a viewfinder, again, you put up with it in that tiny little camera, but when you actually have the viewfinder again, you're like, oh, this is so much better.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I've seen a bunch of cameras just come out. There was a different Fuji that just came out without a viewfinder, like yesterday or something like that. And I can't see it. I can't see buying an LCD screen only. I never use the LCD screen on the X100. Like almost never. Maybe for reviewing photos, but even then, I look through the eyepiece.
Yeah, I love that.
So having
too.
That
I
hybrid love the, eyepiece I love, is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you have the viewfinder, it's essentially a rangefinder camera, but you can, like, so you can use it as a rangefinder and, like, look through, actually look through the optical thing, or you can flip up, you can quickly flip up the EVF. And so it's a hybrid in that way, and it's really awesome. But I find it so fast that I end up shooting it with the EVF almost always.
Right.
Like, it's very rare, maybe in low light. Well, I'll go and not use that. I'll shoot through the viewfinder. It really changed the way I shoot. It took a little learning curve at the beginning to think, oh no, like this is not how I do things at all. And I don't shoot with it's essentially the equivalent of a 35mm lens. It's right. A 23mm lens on a crop sensor, but you know, you go through it. It's basically a 35. And you're right, like that's it. There's no zooming, there's no nothing, there's no changing lenses, but I found that to be the beautiful part about it because you're locked in here now. And yeah. I love the notion that something is insanely good at one thing instead of being pretty good at a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and so far what I've found is that, I mean, I would never select this kind of focal length to take people photos. Usually if I was shooting with an SLR, I'd be, you know, 50mm, 85mm, use the 70-200 just because of, for all those reasons we've talked about in the past, you know, how it compresses people's features and blah, blah, blah. I don't know what magic kind of potion they've got going on in this camera, but people look good. They look like they should in portrait, yeah. Which is weird to me. I don't know how that happens or what they've done, but that's the part that I love is that it's so versatile in the fact that you can actually take really pleasing looking people shots.
Yeah. And it's also in order to get in tight, you have to get in tight, which can, you know, sort of be awkward. So you're not getting in that, like that really super close, just shooting the eyes kind of portrait. You're getting a little bit more environmental stuff.
Right.
Which I happen to like. And I think, you know, looking back at my photos from the past, I'm like, I kind of got away from that because I was shooting, oh, I take the 85 and I'll blur the background. And, you know, and I thought, oh, with this one, well, you're not going to blur the background. Well, at F2, you blur the background.
Yeah, you sure enough. Do. Yeah, enough. Exactly.
You know, you don't got to go crazy. And wait till you start getting into shooting with flash and being able to sync at 1/2000th of a second. And what a game changer that is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I haven't gone there yet, but I intend to, and I'm kind of excited about that. I'm probably going to try to do some hockey photos on ice like I did last year, and then that'll sort out a whole bunch of the issues as far as syncing the lights. I won't have to worry about high-speed sync or any of that. I can just basically shoot it whatever shutter speed I want and then just add the flash in at that shutter speed.
Yep, being able to kill all the ambient with just the shutter is an amazing tool, and yeah, you'll get some great stuff. I can imagine you shooting some really cool stuff down at Gary Point, for example, with a simple flash that all of a sudden looks like you had studio strobes down there, but you don't need that. Like it just looks really great. And one of the things that I really like, and this is the hipster part, which I'm not a hipster, but after I say this, you might disagree. Fuji has made cameras and like film forever. Like Fuji is an imaging company.
Right.
Sony has made ones and zeros for a long time.
Right.
Right. And so I find the Sony cameras they're great. Like they are fantastic digital imaging machines. Fuji makes photography machines. That's the difference. I look at these and think, wow, these look like photographs. Like these are amazing.
Right.
Versus, wow, these are really crisp, lifeless images.
Okay.
Which, like, yeah, that's the hipster part. That's where you look and go, all right, you're being a hipster now.
Yeah.
Have you experimented with the different profiles yet? Like the different film simulators?
No, I haven't. I've just been shooting raw. Yeah.
Well, the good news is
that... Can you do both? Can you put RAW and the film simulator?
You can do RAW and JPEG, but also you'll notice, maybe you haven't noticed yet, in Lightroom, you can choose that profile. When you shoot on the Fuji images come up, they give you the option of selecting the relevant profiles.
Oh, okay.
So you can add those, you know, in Lightroom later and go, oh, I like the Astia Soft or the Classic Chrome or whatever it is. And you can kind of go through, and it's a pretty awesome starting point. And then you can kind of tweak it from there and get some really great. So I shoot a lot of the Provia standard. That's how I shoot normally. And then my go-to, like, you can shoot the the slide film simulator, which is pretty heavy-handed. Looks cool, but it's like, oh, okay, like, definitely can see it. But I like the Astia Soft. It's kind of my go-to one. So it's kind of a nice middle ground. It gives those colors a punch, but it's not overdone. And you can tweak it from there, and you get some really great, really great results from those film simulations.
I'll try them.
So let's have a quick look at the pictures you shot. These are kind of right out of the gate. So here's one of you and the kids.
Yeah, so that was just kind of in Steveston, just kind of by the on the harbor. And you just... you know, focused, handed the camera to my wife and said, you know, just take a tight shot of us. And just, you know, as three people, I just could, this was literally the first time I took the camera out. So we went for dinner. There's a shot of us in the keg. There's a shot of us at the water. And then I just did a environmental shot of, you know, a bunch of boats. And so these were all taken like boom, 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 like, well, the two at the water and then the one in the restaurant, but all on the same evening. And just to show, you know, sort of the range here, like as a group portrait, I just loved how easy this was and how good it looks and just how good the people look. Like, I would not think this was shot on whatever 35 mil or 22, whatever the lens actually is. The people look too much in proportion for a wider angle type lens. So that was just kind of show. And obviously, too, it shows that you can keep all three people in focus. And then you can have that background be out of focus just like you would with like a 50 millimeter. Like, that's what I would have guessed. If I saw this image, is I would have thought it was shot with a 50 millimeter at like an F2.8 or F4 at the most, right?
My main issue is that your daughter looks terrible and she shouldn't want you to post this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't.
No, come on.
Fortunately, I didn't ask her about that one. I love the sort of environmental photo of the boats, because this is basically straight out of camera. And yeah. I just thought, like, wow, it looks so good. The colors are so good. The image is so crisp. I mean, just you know, the fact that everything is in focus, and it was done like you say, just nothing, just a point and shoot image that I don't think a point and shoot image from my phone will look this good. I certainly don't remember anything from the RX100 as a point and shoot shot looking this good. And this was not any wizardry in Lightroom. This is out of camera, and then I might have brought up the blues. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So love that. And then the picture in the keg, like, I'm sitting right beside my daughter, so I'm 15 inches from her face, and I just basically turned and shot this to see what it would look like in the virtual dark. The keg restaurant, for anyone who's been there, knows how dark that the ambiance of that restaurant is. So I would generally not even attempt this photo, but that was the whole thing. We were going to go to the water after I had it with me, and I thought, well, let's see what it does in the virtual dark. I don't even know, maybe you can see the metadata on it, what it shot at. But to me, I'm like,
in terms of ISO, was 2500.
2500, and what's the
F2,
yeah. And it looks so good. And I didn't do a whole bunch of cleanup on the noise or any of that. Like, just thought, wow, this is crazy how simple and how good that is. I mean, I don't shoot a lot in the dark without flash, but just the fact that you can get this, there are, you know, scenarios. I'm thinking, like, you know, someone's birthday and you pull out the camera to take a shot of them blowing out the candles or whatever. This camera would be perfect for that.
It is. And and having that switch on the side too with focus is great, because I use manual focus, which I use the back button focus, which I've reassigned. You and I will talk later about all the different buttons I've reassigned and if you can do similar. But I usually use manual focus for that. But then when I hand the camera off to say my wife, who can do back button focus, but I prefer the face detection, so I'll just flip it over to single autofocus mode, and it does an amazing job of getting focus right.
Yeah, and this was just the single shot, yeah, focus.
Right. Yeah, no, but if you know what you're doing, it does an amazing job. It's not like the fastest autofocus in the world, but it's great. Like for what you want, like it is an amazing camera, and that's the reason it's become my walk around camera. I love it. It's versatile. I'm not throwing out my Mark III or the 5D Classic. They still have their place in what I need to do. But I'm considering shooting a video project coming up solely on this camera.
Okay.
Just to see if I can do it. It'll do 1080p. It looks awesome. It's so unbelievably compact that I'm considering doing that and just seeing what we can do.
Well, and again, for me, even if you took your 30mm lens on your SLR and shot it from this distance from your subject, again, this is where I can't believe how good the proportions look. I can't see any distortion. Her face looks the way it should, and that shot so close to her.
I see a difference between this and the 85. You can see the difference.
Yes, in an 85.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Well, but I'm just thinking, if I shot that same focal length with the SLR, I think it would look worse. Like that's not
possibly,
what I'm not saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's turning into an 85. I'm just saying, right, I don't know how they make that sort of focal length look that good in terms of a portrait. Yeah.
They're not going to tell us either.
Yeah.
Point being, everybody keep your eyes peeled for some used X100s or get the new one. Or I might hold off on the new one. They've got to be having the number 5. It's got to be coming out pretty soon, because it's been a couple of years since the F came out, 2-3 years now. Well, I've had mine for 2 years, so it's got to be 3 years old by now. I'm guessing, I don't know, I don't work for Fuji, I'm guessing the next one's going to be called the V, can't call it the F for 5, so it's got to be the V for Roman numeral 5. That's my, you heard it here first. I'll check and see what Martin Armstrong has to say. But
okay, all right.
But if you're going to buy a new one, I might hold out for that one, but I would definitely keep my eyes peeled for a used one. They're just as Adam said, a great, great all-around camera, great value. I love mine.
Okay.
All right. Monthly challenge reminder for September is background. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers. Definitely tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram, and we'll talk about that at the end of the month or beginning of next month. Challenge for next week, Adam. I'm going to lob one right down the middle for you.
Okay.
Germany in September.
Yay, perfect. Yeah.
Which you should actually be here right now, but that's a different, we'll talk about that on off the air. 35mm focal length in brackets equivalent.
Okay.
So that jives with the X100.
Okay. And for those that don't have one?
Well, no one's doing, that's the challenge, the next week's challenge. It's just you and me.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Nobody else does it.
Yeah,
you listen to the show, right? You know,
yeah,
the show?
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah. It's like the olden days. Like I was still thinking, what was that? I was going to make a joke about the Sudoku knockoff, but what was it called?
Exavoku.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Back in the Exavoku days.
Yeah. There's a few people who like those.
I want a t-shirt that says, I wish we were back in the Exavoku days.
That's wordy. Is Exavoku still a thing? That could be something. Maybe we'll make one just with the Exavoku with the thing in the middle and missing. And I don't know. I'm not doing that.
Like a wanted sign, Exavoku.
Yeah, missing. just a milk carton. Oh boy.
I like it. Okay, good way to end.
You know what? I would sell exactly 1.5 of them. And so there's really not much point in doing that.
Okay.
But so next week's challenge, basically shoot something with your the X100, and I'll do the same.
Okay.
And that's it. All right, websites. Where can people go to find your stuff?
They can find it at adamschwartz.ca.
And you can find mine at alanattridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, and the email where you can send Amazon gift cards.
Yeah.
And all the things that we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.